Thank you, Mr. Steinbeck, for your informative presentation and your major contribution to this important conference. I noticed several ladies and gentlemen in the back of the room standing. There are several seats up in the front area if you'd like to move in, especially in this area. Well, ladies and gentlemen, due to a matter of urgency, it has been necessary to alter our program slightly. Now, the next gentleman on our program is an educational leader of national reputation. He is superintendent of one of the nation's largest and most respected school systems. He is respected for his administrative ability, and there are a few educational problems with which he has not been personally confronted. He is a man who works on many fronts to increase citizen involvement in the affairs of the school system, and technical education being no exception. One of the finest people you will ever meet, and one who has a very pleasant duty to perform at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, the superintendent of Cincinnati's public schools, Dr. Paul A. Miller. Dr. Miller.
Mr. Estes, ladies and gentlemen, it is my high personal honor and my great professional privilege to present to you the governor of the state of Ohio, the Honorable James A. Rhodes, Governor Rhodes.
Paul Miller, distinguished guests, down.
First of all, I want to express my appreciation for permitting me to recite some of the progress, some of the troubles of Ohio. I want to go back 1963, and after all, this could be a inventory evaluation of the great state of Ohio. We inherited a financial mess in the state of Ohio. We had more people on welfare than any other state in the Union, and that was by a design factor because that is the only field that we were working in and excelling in. We were recruiting people for welfare programs, and we had the dubious distinction of leading the nation. The unemployment was the highest rate per capita of any state in the Union. This also was not a problem of yesteryears because we were supposed to have many programs to take care of every person unemployed. Now we only have two types of people in Ohio. We have the unproductive, the productive, the unemployed, the employed, and the non-taxpayer and the taxpayer. And our whole program, whether it's in the field of education, development, plants, whatever it may be, jobs, is to get people employment regardless of race, color, or creed. Also in Ohio, we did not have a program to have present industry to expand to provide jobs or to attract industry into Ohio. Our attitude was lacking, and we did not have an atmosphere and environment for industrial development conducive to industrial development to provide jobs and employment for our people. We also like to believe that nothing happens in Ohio until someone does something. Nothing. And if we remained in Columbus and permitted the General Assembly to gravitate to the governor all the power, why, and this is no reflection, why, if we would adopted some of the procedures of the past, then we would remain in Columbus and go out ever so often to anoint a few of the citizens of Ohio, and then we would bless the others and baptize all of our friends. We believe the people of Ohio want progress. We believe they want programs, they want procedures for growth, and they want jobs and want to become employed. And we believe also that they want programs of how to get and to gain employment. We deal mostly in our position as governor of Ohio with the job creators and the job providers. And we did adopt the slogan that profit is not a dirty word in the state of Ohio, and we had many people scoff at this. And I want to say to you at the outset that 90% of all the jobs in the state of Ohio comes from industry, commerce, business, and agriculture installation. Education will go for naught unless there's a job to go to. My home city, I remember very vividly, and maybe this is not a good presentation to make, but I remember when they were employing all the Phi Beta Kappas for $1.50 an hour because nobody else is working. So what we have to have is a balanced growth, a complete and comprehensive economic development expansion of this state to provide jobs and employment for all of our people, regardless of race, color, creed. In the field of education, the reason we can be so daring in the field of vocational technical is because we have answered one of the problems. The most pressing problems in 1963 was higher education. We had 5 universities and 1 college. Today, this year, 1968, we are spending $350 million for capital improvement in higher education. Between the year of 1803 and 1963, the state of Ohio spent less than $200 million. So you can understand the progress that's being made in the field of higher education in the state of Ohio. Not because of the governor or the High General Assembly, because the people of Ohio have responded to program. They want to build and construct and cultivate the best of this state. And it can only be accomplished through master plan, through the Board of Regents. And I remember very vividly when we proposed the Board of Regents that we had many people say it'll never work. Now there's a certain amount of taxpayers' dollars, and this must be allocated in all levels of education and see that all receive their fair and just share. And this is the reason the Board of Regents came about. And I'm going to propose something this morning, that we need a VOTEC committee in the state of Ohio to see that vocational and technical education receives their just share of the taxpayers' money in the state of Ohio. And this commission will report to the High General Assembly. And vocational and technical is caught in between secondary and higher education, and has been almost a lost individual, a lost animal in the cause of education in the state of Ohio. And this is the reason we can devote our time now to vocational and technical education in the state of Ohio. Secondly, the salary of our faculties of the state-supported universities are in the first 10 in the nation. So we have paid an obligation. We've only done half as much as we should do, but we're moving into the field of higher education because we need vocational and technical teachers and instructors, so we must produce them in the field of higher education. Must come first. Now, when we became governor of the state of Ohio, there were no joint vocational school districts organized in Ohio. There were no residential vocational schools for disadvantaged and unemployed out-of-school youth and adults. There were only 7 vocational high schools in the major cities of our state. There were only 6 technical centers enrolling 383 full-time students. That now is over tenfold. There were no vocational programs planned specifically for the less able and disadvantaged youth. And we inherited a decadent and an inadequate educational system in the state of Ohio. And what we're trying to do now is to project vocational and technical education into the place, in the field of education, where it rightfully belongs. Because I think at this hour in Ohio, vocational technical training is the most important phase of education. I think it's the salvation of the educational system. And I can prove that in just a moment. Now, in our advancement in the state of Ohio, we think a task force that we're going to recommend can answer many of the problems, and out of this room and this field will come people serving on this. And we'll have many people say, now this is, Governor, you can't do it this way. Let me say this, we have improved all of the studies in secondary education. We have sophisticated all the curriculum. We've raised the standard so high in secondary education, we're breeding a decadent society down here and don't know it. And all we want to do is to bring in strict focus of 11 million people of Ohio the importance of a job, job training, job education, and job opportunity. The number one problem in Ohio is this. 50% of the unemployment in the state of Ohio is between the ages of 16 and 24. Startling figure, over 90% of these young people are untrained, unskilled, and unemployable for a skilled job. I want to give you another startling figure. We have spent this year, 68, $1.3 billion in secondary and primary education in Ohio. Come the first week of June in the state of Ohio, with our dropouts, and we should have no dropouts in the state of Ohio if we have vocational and technical training they can go to a productive job. We believe the only answer in Ohio, if 50% of our young people want to go to college, then we have to have a program for the other 50% must graduate with a diploma in one hand and a job in the other. Now, it can be accomplished and can be achieved. The first week of June, with our dropouts, we shall have in the state of Ohio 90,000. I want to repeat, 90,000 young people walking up and down the streets of Ohio hunting a job and have nothing to offer the labor market except a strong back and two strong arms. Only 20% of our young people are in vocational training. 80% are in a preparatory course to college or a general course. 50% enter, then the residue remains with us. I want to say something about the Mahoning Valley Technical Institute and Vocational Institute located in Youngstown. Our problem and responsibility in the state of Ohio is this. A young man at the age of 18 or 19, after the judicial system has given up on the young man, welfare has given up on the young man, educators have given up on the young man, government has given up on the young man, industry's given up because his record is from here to the end of the table with felonies and misdemeanors, and you do not want him in the personnel office because of his record. You turn him over to the governor and say, now you make an instant citizen out of him in 6 months. And you've had him 18 or 19 years. And I want to assure you it can be accomplished. At the Mahoning Valley Institute, when we bring these young people in to indoctrinate them in this school, and this is a school of last resort, and I think it's more than that, it's a school of first opportunity for young men. When we bring them in, we must sometimes place them in circles because they will pick each other's pocket. Sometimes we must take away guns and knives. Can you imagine someone going in to get a job with a big, long switchblade knife or a gun? After 9 months or a year, 91% of these young people are employable. And the finest employees we have working for the state of Ohio came from this vocational and technical training, and we have them in colleges and universities today because someone gave them an opportunity. Now let me speak for these 90,000. We have been doing this in the state of Ohio since the year 1854. If we continue to raise the standards and say to young people with a pointed finger that you must take these six subjects, and the boy says, I want to become a policeman or fireman, you can't do that, you have to take these subjects, your dropouts are going to double. Now, there's no reason in our school system that a young man, if he so desires and says so publicly that I want to become a policeman or fireman, that we cannot change the course of action in our government in the state of Ohio, that we cannot have cadets and have the finest police and fire department in the United States by coming out of vocational technical training in the state of Ohio. The intellectual snobbery that goes with this, few people realize, and I'm happy to see all of those displays out there in the lobby. And I want to congratulate here Paul Miller and also all of Hamilton County have done a great job in combining all of the districts. Doing a great job here. Now, you should see me when I sit down with some of the university presidents and ask them, let's place on the campus a technical institute or a vocational school. I will assure you, you're looking at a man that they believe has strict leprosy. Strict leprosy. We cannot afford intellectual snobbery in this state. Education is the duty and responsibility of every person and every elected official, whether they be Democrat or Republican, in the field of education. And I know some will say, well, now, Governor, that's great, but when do we start? We're starting. And I want to assure all of you that we're going to become number one in vocational technical training in the nation. And I know some of you shake your head, well, it can't happen. Again, nothing happens until someone does something. And we're going to do something about vocational and technical training in this state. And the main reason is this. Now, that 90,000 now, let's talk about just salvaging education. We have to rap on doors. We have to sell. We have to get all of the publicity possible to sell issues concerning schools. I'm going to tell you where one of the blocks happened to be. Mother and father holding two jobs, making sacrifices, denying themselves of a new automobile or denying themselves of a colored television so they can work, place all their money behind their young boy, young daughter going to high school so they can keep the status up with the Joneses. So she's taken, or he has taken, a general course. They graduate, and the mother and father believe that their burden has been lifted. Becomes heavier. What can the child do? The mother and father is angry at everyone in this room, including the governor and every elected official and every school board. The boy is frustrated, or the girl. And I can go in a high rate of unemployment on any hot, sultry night and take 10 or 12 of these people who are frustrated, these young people, march them out on the street, and I can bring 1,500 friends with them. Because they were denied a job, they're able-bodied. Because of the system. Now we're going to change courses in education. We're going to change courses, and I know that I have many people that has audience like this pointing the finger out the governor's not going to change course of education. Well, it's going to be like the OK Corral. There's going to be a showdown one of these days, publicly. And it's going to be a shootout. And I want to assure you and pronounce the winner. You're looking at the winner. I say every mother and father wants their boy or girl to graduate and they want a job. And yet you'll have many people appear before you and they will start talking about this is the way we handle it. We're going to get the federal program, we're going to apply, and we're going to get some type of a program to keep the young people busy. We're going to have a cool summer because we're going to keep all the kids busy. Now, if that doesn't work, we're going to appeal to the governor and we're going to appeal to the local government. Now, let me speak for the young people of Ohio. They do not want to be kept busy by the federal government. They despise welfare. They do not want to be kept busy by the state government or the local government. All they're asking is for a job, job opportunity, job education. They want to work, they want dignity, and they want decency, and they want to hold their head high and say that I'm part of the productive segment of Ohio. This, I need no urging. I'm sold on what I'm saying. Now, we're going to do it this way. Now, there's no reason why a young boy or a young girl, especially a girl, these are the most frustrated cases. In high school, and I will say the teachers and educators are with me in the secondary level. Our battle's in the upper tier. A young girl wanting to become a secretary. So she decides about a junior, whatever it may be, so they let her look at the typewriter. Give her a shorthand book. Well, she's so enthralled with this, she's determined then she's going to become. So they give her 6 months. When she gets through, she walks into one of you and she wants a job. Your personnel man said, we can't employ you, you have some experience. What's your experience? Don't have any. What's your training? Don't have any. So she's got to go to work for a year at something to get enough money to go to school to become a secretary. I say that we can produce secretaries in the state of Ohio full, competent, able, and complete at the age of 18. Now we must stop looking down our nose at people who want to work. You know, I can talk freely because we have done a great deal in Ohio, you as taxpayers, for higher education. We must stop looking down our nose because some boy, some girl wants to work. And I will, in this state, the 90,000, I can take any one of the survey organization, public opinion, I will say out of that 90,000, there'll be 89,000 will answer one question. Do you want a job? 89,000, well, they've inherited something or whatever they may be, they're going to work some other place, but this, I addressed the Future Farmers of America Saturday night. You know, we're all smart, we're from the city. We're supposed to know everything. We're the intellectual interests of the state of Ohio and the big cities. You know that we have had agriculture extension for 80 years in Ohio, and we haven't had 1 hour of industrial extension. Future farmers, nothing more than vocational education. 40 years old last Saturday night. They've been doing it for 40 years. 40 years. A vocational education for agriculture. Now let me, what this is always going to lead to. We have to train these young people in junior high, high school. This is a cost of production. The days pass when large industry can go in and set up a technical or vocational school because of the competition of product. That day's passed, so you know, you just wait in your neighborhood that one large industry is going to set up for 1,000 years, it's gone. Now let me say these young people, the way we find them. We're going to get vocational and technical training in Ohio. And we're going to assure every young man and every young woman, regardless of race, color, and creed, that they have a job opportunity, job education. And we'll attract more industry than any two states when we have this program. Not too long ago, I was on the same platform with the president of Chrysler Motors, and after all, that is a large corporate structure. They said the reason they located in the Toledo area, one of the reasons was because of the pennant. Vocational Technical Institute. Why? Because they walk right across the street over there, train. It's a cost of production. I can point out some of the vocational schools in Ohio where they have 175, 250 graduates. There's 600 firms looking for them. This has been a proven concept. The other hand is this. Civil disturbance and civil disobedience. Angry people because out of this 90,000, all we have done have compounded the misery in the field of education. The National Guard is not the answer to hold these people in line because they want a job. And I say to all people in education and to the 11 million people of Ohio, we're going to get a program for training every young man and every young woman. And you're going to have to do it in the framework of our present educational system, or you're going to fight these young people in the streets. There's very few people in this room know the pangs of poverty or unemployment. And when a young man in this state is unemployed and he's able-bodied and he has that initiative and desire and determination, we as public officials should not take it away from him. And the least of his worry is the political concept of the governor, the mayor, the superintendent, the school board, the city council or congressman, whatever it may be, he wants to work. And what I'm talking about, this is the duty, obligation, responsibility of every elected Democrat and every elected Republican in the state of Ohio. And that is the reason we're appointing for the first time. And this is daring. Can you imagine a governor to appoint someone in VOTEC to give us some leadership and take some legislation to the High General Assembly so that we can get jobs? Now, you've been very grateful to me, very kind. State of Ohio, you know, the governor can only serve 2 terms. I have 2 years and 7 months, and all of you are safe. Mrs. Rhodes will not be a candidate in 1970. But the next 31 months is going to be spent on vocational education in Ohio. And I have been in the field of labor to get jobs, to attract industry, and I'm so happy that other public officials are coming into the fold. Someone has discovered that if you get people jobs, keep them busy, they make a great deal of progress on their own. And government has not been too enlightening to me. Has never provided a productive job. We are a regulatory agency. We are a guideline. We must perpetuate a system that will provide jobs. Nothing else. Now, if you do not believe young people, the most repulsive act that they must undertake is when someone hands them a number and say, you're part of a program for welfare. They rebel in the offices. They rebel publicly. Now, I'm asking each and every one of you as individuals, taxpayers, and I don't stand here and say because of the governor, the General Assembly progress, and I'll reiterate what I said originally. These are programs of the people, you. You've responded to these programs. I know I say a lot of things people don't like. But once in a while, we hit a chord that awakens some people. And all we're trying to do is to get everybody in the state of Ohio to become aggressive, alert, and alive to vocational technical training. I can take any of these civil disturbance we've had, and after some people want to send in all the psychiatrists, the psychologists. They want to evaluate it. They want to re-examine it. And they want to study it. You don't need studies. I come from an area of Ohio where they've had 26 different studies, Appalachia, made by 14 different foundations, 7 by government, and about 5 or 6 privately. When you get all through with us people, all of us hillbillies, we call them, we have a new name for them down there now. They call them high dramatic Highlanders. Down there, they know that only means a shiftless hillbilly. So So what we're talking about is your aid, your assistance, your help. We're only one person in this fight. We need all of the help and all of the assistance. And we have an opportunity, we have a goal. And we're going to do this the next 31 months. I want to repeat for the third time. We are going to become number one in vocational and technical training right here in Ohio. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Governor Rhodes, and it's obvious that your message has been an inspiration to